This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine walking into a massive public library to research a highly complex, nuanced topic. And the old way of searching was essentially, you know, like walking up to the card catalog.
Right. The good old days.
Yeah, exactly. You got a list of where books were located, maybe a few cryptic summaries. And then you were just left to wander the aisles, pull the books, and do all the heavy lifting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Synthesizing all that information.
Right. But modern AI search engines are entirely different. Using them is like handing that same topic to a team of world-class researchers who like go into the stacks, read every single book, and hand you a customized plain language executive summary.
Yeah. And if you have that research team at your disposal, you are never going back to the card catalog. You just wouldn't.
No, absolutely not.
Because the cognitive load of the card catalog is just too high. I mean, for the longest time, we've treated digital search as this mechanical process. Users typed, you know, disjointed fragments into a box, and search engines spit out a list of blue links.
Mm-hmm.
But generative AI removes that burden of assembly from the user. You are no longer searching. You're consulting.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, the AI acts as a sophisticated intermediary. It analyzes your intent and delivers a synthesized conclusion.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission for you today is to unpack this massive shift and figure out how businesses can stop wasting their marketing budgets on traditional web ads and instead become the definitive preferred answer for AI platforms like ChatGPT and Google Gemini.
It's a huge topic.
It really is. And to do this, we are drawing on a deeply insightful article. It's titled AI Query Research: Map What B2B Buyers Ask AI. And it's written by Chris Bradley from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic piece.
So we're going to look at the exact questions your ideal clients are asking these machines and the technical architecture you need to make sure the AI actually recommends you.
And, you know, the stakes here for growth-focused executives are incredibly high. We are looking at a reality right now where leadership teams are just staring at their dashboards, watching their traditional website traffic drop month over month.
Yeah, just tanking.
Right, while their digital ad spend to acquire a single lead just keeps creeping higher and higher.
Which is so frustrating.
It is. And if a business refuses to adapt to how natural language AI prompts actually work, I mean, they're effectively flying blindfolded. They're pouring capital into an acquisition system that enterprise buyers are rapidly abandoning.
So I want to look closely at that shift in buyer behavior, because before we get into like what people are asking the AI, we really need to understand how the behavior itself has evolved.
Absolutely.
The source argues that the era of fragmented keywords is completely over, especially in the B2B space.
Yeah, it is a fundamental rewiring of the buyer's journey. Like think about 5 years ago, an enterprise buyer looking for a vendor might go to a search bar and type a fragmented string, something like B2B marketing agency Dallas.
Right. Just keywords.
Exactly. But today, that same buyer opens an interface like ChatGPT and types a complex conversational paragraph. They explain their current revenue bottleneck, their industry constraints, and they ask the AI to help them build a comprehensive evaluation rubric.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is before they even think about booking a discovery call with a sales rep. They're using the LLM, the large language model, as a strategic analyst.
The source captures the frustration of this transition perfectly. There is a quote here that anyone who has ever sat in a revenue meeting is going to feel in their bones.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, Bradley writes, attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room.
Oh, I absolutely love that quote. It is just so perfectly accurate. It captures exactly what's going on.
It really does.
It's a painful reality for a lot of teams. You have the sales team claiming they closed the deal through sheer outbound effort, and then the social media manager is pointing to a viral post.
And Google Ads is aggressively claiming credit for everything.
Because it tracked the final click.
Exactly. But renting temporary growth through ad networks is getting murkier and significantly more expensive. The ad platforms want to take credit, but the actual decision-making process is happening off-platform, inside AI chat windows.
Right. Let me play devil's advocate here, though. Is traditional keyword SEO entirely dead? Because if no one is typing in those short, punchy keywords anymore, like, what is a marketing department supposed to be optimizing for? Are we just abandoning traditional search altogether?
I wouldn't say it's a death. It's more of an evolution into what the author terms AI query research.
Okay.
Being number one on a traditional search engine results page simply doesn't matter if a generative AI engine has already fully answered your prospect's question in a chat window.
Right, because they never even see the search page. Exactly. So the new objective is capturing high-intent leads by aligning your digital footprint with conversational behavior. You are no longer optimizing for a search engine's indexing bot. You're structuring your data to be ingested, understood, and cited by large language models.
Which brings us to the core strategy. Since buyers are having these multi-layered conversations, we have to map out what those conversations actually look like.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the source, these prompts aren't just random. Across almost every B2B service vertical, buyer AI prompts fall into five highly predictable categories, and they essentially mirror the psychological stages of a major purchase.
Yeah, and understanding these five categories is the foundation of any modern visibility strategy. If you don't map your content to these specific intent phases, the AI just has no material to pull from when it evaluates your brand.
Makes sense.
So the first category is selection criteria.
Okay, so this sounds like the very beginning of the journey where the buyer doesn't even know what they don't know yet. They're essentially asking the AI to tell them what to look for.
Precisely. A typical prompt in this category looks like, what red flags should I avoid when migrating enterprise software? Or what are the core competencies I should demand from a specialized logistics firm?
They're building a rubric.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The buyer is outsourcing the creation of their evaluation rubric. To capture this query, a business can't just list its services. It must publish clear methodology frameworks, technical standards, and operational checklists.
Oh, I see.
Because if you don't provide a comprehensive buyer's guide that defines the standard of excellence in your industry, the AI will just pull that standard from a competitor who did.
Wow. Okay. So once the AI has handed the buyer this robust evaluation rubric, my next question as a buyer is inevitably going to be about budget. Like, I need to know if I can afford the solution. Which brings us to category two, and here's where it gets really interesting. Pricing benchmarks.
Oh, yes. The money question. Buyers want to de-risk the financial aspect immediately. So they ask prompts, like, what is the standard monthly retainer for an enterprise SEO engagement? Or, how much does a full server migration typically cost for a mid-sized healthcare company?
Let me stop you right there, because this is where the theory hits a massive wall in the real B2B world. Putting enterprise pricing online is absolutely terrifying for most CEOs.
It really is.
Businesses desperately want to hide behind a generic, contact us for a custom quote page. A CEO is going to say, look, if I publish my pricing tiers online, my competitors will just read them and undercut me by 10%. Like, are you telling me I have to sacrifice my strategic competitive advantage just to please an algorithm?
It is a totally valid fear, it is. But the landscape forces a really harsh trade-off. Think about it. How can an AI recommend your solution if it cannot verify that your solution fits the buyer's requested budget?
I guess it can't.
It can't and it won't. Large language models heavily favor transparent, structured data. If a buyer asks an LLM for market rates and your website just says contact us, the AI perceives that as a dead end.
Wow, so it just skips you entirely.
It will immediately bypass you and cite the competitor who outlined a realistic cost range, scope variables, and pricing models.
That's wild.
You don't have to publish, like, to the penny invoices, but you must provide a transparent cost framework detailing tier variables.
Yeah.
If you hide your pricing, the AI assumes you aren't a definitive resource.
That is a brutal paradigm shift. I mean, hiding pricing to protect your margins actually just erases you from the AI's consideration set entirely.
Exactly.
Okay, so the AI knows my budget, and it has given me a few viable options. Naturally, I want to pit them against each other. So category three is direct comparison.
Right. This is the critical evaluation stage.
Yeah.
Prospects use the AI as a referee to contrast different methodologies. Yeah. They'll type, you know, what is the difference between option A's approach and option B's? Mm-hmm. Or should I build an in-house marketing team or hire an agency?
But how does a business optimize for a head-to-head matchup? It's not like you can just write a blog post saying, hey, we are better than everyone else. The AI will see right through that bias, won't it?
It definitely will. The LLMs are looking for structured, objective analysis. You capture this space by building authoritative comparison pages that present factual trade-offs.
Trade-offs, like admitting you aren't perfect for everything.
Exactly. The technical solution here is structured side-by-side methodology analysis tables. You have to concede certain points. You might say approach A is faster, but approach B yields higher long-term retention.
Right.
If you provide an objective, factual breakdown of the trade-offs, the AI will utilize your data structure to answer the user's comparison query, and that positions your brand as the industry authority.
All right, so I've compared the methodologies. Now I want the AI to tell me who is actually the best at executing the winning methodology in my specific market. Category 4 is category authority.
Yes. This is where the prompt gets highly specific, like who are the top-rated B2B growth partners in Dallas? Or which cybersecurity firms specialize in regional banking compliance? And the AI isn't pulling from personal experience, obviously. It evaluates authority mathematically.
How does that math work, though? What makes the AI decide one firm has more authority than another firm?
It cross-references a massive web of signals. It looks at the semantic richness of your case studies, the freshness and sentiment of third-party reviews, and the technical structure of your data.
Okay.
It looks for verifiable proof of competence. It's essentially calculating a confidence score based on how consistently your brand is associated with successful outcomes across the web.
Which leaves us with category 5. So I know who I want to hire, I have the budget, but before I sign a massive six-figure contract, I need to know what happens on day one. Process expectations.
Exactly. Buyers are trying to mitigate operational risk. They're asking the AI, what should I expect during the first 30 days of an engagement with a specialized logistics firm? They want to demystify the process.
Makes total sense.
So to capture these queries, your content has to move beyond marketing fluff and outline concrete onboarding timelines, deliverable schedules, implementation steps. You have to give the AI factual data that reassures the decision maker that you have a documented, repeatable system.
Okay, to recap the buyer's journey through these 5 categories, because there's a lot here, they ask what to look for, which is selection, what it costs, pricing, how options stack up, comparison, who the best is, authority, and how it actually works. Process.
Exactly.
Mapping these conversations is brilliant, but knowing the questions doesn't automatically mean the AI chooses you as the answer, right?
No, not at all. Mapping the psychology is only half the battle. You have to build the technical architecture to feed those answers to the machines in a format they can instantly process.
Right.
The source synthesizes this into 3 non-negotiable, actionable steps. The very first requirement is publishing assets with high information gain.
Let's define that, because information gain sounds like a phrase a data scientist uses when they are trying to sound intimidating. Like, what does it actually mean in practice?
Well, think of it mathematically. Large language models operate by predicting the next logical word in a sequence based on vast amounts of training data, right?
Right.
So if your website is filled with generic industry platitudes, phrases like, we offer tailored solutions to drive synergistic growth, the mathematical value of that text to an LLM is practically zero.
Because it's seen it a million times.
Exactly. It provides no new information.
So high information gain is essentially forcing the algorithm to notice you because you are introducing novel variables into its data set.
You nailed it. You replace the generic marketing copy with proprietary industry benchmarks, highly specific client case studies, and exact project metrics.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So if you publish a study saying, by applying this specific 3-step optimization framework in the commercial real estate sector, we reduced cost per acquisition by 41% over a 6-month period. The LLM recognizes that as highly novel, high-value data. It prioritizes original data over rehashed text.
That makes perfect sense. Originality is a mathematical advantage.
Yep, yep.
Okay, step 2 is embedding machine-readable schema code, specifically JSON LD blocks. But for those of us who, you know, don't spend our weekends writing code, what does this actually look like?
Okay, imagine trying to explain your entire business model to a foreign visitor who only speaks a few words of your language.
Okay.
You'd have to use big gestures, point at things, and just hope they understand the context. That is what a standard web page does to a search crawler. JSON LD schema is like handing that visitor a perfectly translated structured dossier. You wrap your primary service pages and your FAQ sections in specific schema codes like the service, organization, and FAQ page tags.
So it's literally tagging the data for them.
Exactly. This code bypasses the AI's need to infer or guess what your page is about. It explicitly declares, this data point is our core service, this data point is our corporate structure, and these are our fact-checked FAQs. It allows the algorithm to parse your capabilities in milliseconds.
You are spoon-feeding the AI its preferred diet in its native language. That's incredible. And I want to bring in a really memorable quote from the text here, because the author uses a striking visual to illustrate the danger of ignoring these technical setups. He writes, "Many websites leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in."
It was a brilliant analogy, and it leads directly into the third technical requirement, which is arguably the most important, server-side attribution, or OCI. What's fascinating here is we are seeing a massive systemic rise in what the industry calls zero-click AI journeys.
Wait, let me stop you right there, because there is a massive logical gap that we really need to clear up. The term zero-click AI journey implies the buyer never clicked a link from the AI platform.
Right.
But if they never clicked to my website, how on earth did their data get into my CRM in the first place? Like, how does a bottomless bucket capture any water at all?
It's a great question, and it really highlights how completely broken traditional tracking is right now. Let's walk through the actual user journey. A CEO asks ChatGPT for the best enterprise logistics software. The AI recommends your company, citing your high information gain methodology. The CEO reads it, thinks great, and closes the ChatGPT app. They didn't click anything.
Okay, I follow.
2 days later, they open a browser, type your company name directly into the URL bar, go to your site, and book a demo.
Ah. And the traditional browser cookie looks at that and says, oh, they came from a direct search. Or maybe they clicked our branded search ad.
Precisely. The cookie gives all the credit to the last touch point, the Google search, and completely misses the fact that ChatGPT drove the intent days earlier. The traditional attribution model relies on a continuous chain of browser clicks, and the AI journey completely breaks that chain.
So how does server-side offline conversion tracking, OCI, fix a chain that is already broken?
By shifting the source of truth away from the user's browser and moving it to your own server, you route milestone data from your CRM, like when a lead actually becomes a closed, paying client directly back to your marketing platforms via an API. Yeah, so while you might not be able to force a browser cookie to track that initial zero-click AI interaction perfectly, OCI allows you to match your actual realized revenue against your broader AI visibility metrics. You bypass the restrictive browser blocks entirely.
That's huge.
It is. You stop obsessing over front-end vanity clicks and start mathematically correlating back-end revenue with your AI optimization efforts.
Right.
You are proving that your strategy generates dollars, not just web traffic.
That is a crucial distinction. Information gain, JSON-LD schema, and server-side attribution. But looking at all of this, writing proprietary methodologies, coding JSON schemas, configuring server APIs, that is not a quick Friday afternoon fix.
It was not at all.
This requires a massive structural shift in how an executive views their marketing budget.
It demands a total shift in perspective. Yeah. For a busy CEO, playing data detective or manually trying to trick an AI algorithm is a catastrophic waste of strategic time. They need a system that functions without their constant intervention.
Right.
This approach is really about moving away from renting temporary growth through ad networks, where the moment you stop paying, you vanish, and moving toward owning the market as the definitive structural authority.
Which is why The Source emphasizes outsourcing this heavy technical lifting. You let specialists manage the JSON schemas and server APIs, so the brand becomes the obvious choice to the AI, regardless of how the underlying technology updates.
Exactly.
Chris Bradley, the author of this piece, uses a fantastic analogy for this mindset shift. And it's worth noting, the text highlights he has led his company to 24 straight years of profitability, so he clearly understands the mechanics of sustainable growth.
Oh, absolutely.
He says, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
It perfectly encapsulates the reality of AI query research. You are making a long-term capital investment in the structural integrity of your brand's data. You're mapping your buyer-specific category queries, patching your content gaps with high information gain assets, and really planting digital seeds that will yield high-intent enterprise leads for years, long after an ad campaign would have burned out.
I want you to really evaluate your own strategy right now. Look at your marketing spend. Are you just buying groceries with temporary ads, scrambling month to month for sustenance? Or are you doing the hard technical work of planting an orchard for long-term AI visibility?
It's the most important question to ask. The digital interfaces that buyers use to locate service providers are going to keep evolving rapidly, but the fundamental math of enterprise growth does not change. Answering buyer intent with structured, verifiable authority is what builds lasting market share.
Let's bring all these threads together. We've covered a massive shift today, moving away from disjointed, fragmented keywords and into the era of natural language AI prompts. We mapped the 5 psychological questions your buyers are asking the machines. They want selection criteria, pricing benchmarks, direct comparisons, category authority, and process expectations. Mm. And most importantly, we explored the technical mechanics required to feed those answers to the AI using high information JSON to stand out, JSON-LD schema code to speak the algorithm's language, and server-side attribution to track the actual revenue of zero-click journeys.
And if you take only one thing away from this deep dive, let it be the urgency of this reality. Mm. Right now, today, your ideal enterprise clients are asking Gemini or ChatGPT for recommendations in your exact industry. If your data isn't T-structured correctly, if you are letting fear dictate that you hide your pricing, or if your content lacks original information gain, you are completely invisible to them. It absolutely does not matter how incredible your real-world services are. If the algorithm cannot parse and mathematically verify your authority, you do not exist in the AI recommendation ecosystem.
Which leads me to a final, somewhat provocative thought for you to ponder. We discussed how AI determines category authority by cross-referencing verified client metrics, specific methodology data, and review freshness. The AI is rapidly becoming the ultimate singular gatekeeper of business reputation.
It really is.
So, if large language models solidify their role as the absolute judges of who's best, how long before companies start altering their actual physical service delivery just to generate the specific data metrics that they know the algorithms prefer? Are we moving toward a future where businesses structure their entire real-world operations primarily to win an AI's approval rather than solving the human client's actual problem? Think back to our opening idea. You bypass the card catalog to talk directly to the expert research team. But what happens when that expert is a machine and every business on earth is just performing a play written entirely for its algorithm? It's something to chew on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.